So we're starting on Kaf Dalet on the bet at the very, very bottom. I hope you got to see the sugya about the chazir, eating basar chazir when you thought it was basar chazir, you didn't know it was basar chazir, right? Very interesting values discussion about when you do something thinking you're doing something wrong, and yet it turns out not to be wrong, or you do something thinking you're doing something right, and then it turns out to be wrong, and the whole... Yeah. Right, it was very appropriate for Rosh Hashanah. Exactly. It was very... Yes. I'm sorry that we didn't get to learn it together. Anyway, now we're on to different type stuff. Let's just read the Mishnah together before on Kaf Dalet Amud Aleph. Okay. Ha'isha shenad Rabbi Nazir v'hifrisha et behemta. Okay, so she becomes a nazira, she sets aside her animals, v'achar kach hefer la ba'ala. Right, then her husband cancels the neder, the nazirut. Im shelo haita behema tesev tir'eh ba'eder. If the animal belonged to him, then it goes right back, because she really never had any rights to be makdish the animal, only according to his approval, and he didn't approve of it. And they even connected with, you can't be makdish something shelo ba'lo olam, and it was never really hers, so how could she have done it? So, now obviously what's the issue? If she did continue with the nazirut, well then it would be okay. So, it's a bit of a question, but we're not going to focus on that right now. V'im shela hayta bema, if the bema was hers, which then again is a discussion, right? How could she even have an animal? It doesn't everything belong to her husband, but they found some examples of how that could be. Im shela hayta bema, achata tamut ve'ola tikrav ola, shlamim tikrav shlamim, v'nechalim liyamacha ve'inan tu'unim lechem. Okay, so in order to understand this, we actually saw cases, I think it was in Psachim, where if you were a mark of your Korban Pesach with the wrong kavana, so in the end, it becomes a Korban Shlamim, just not a Korban Pesach. In other words, there's like a default. If it doesn't work as one, so it defaults to something else. But not in all cases. So we're going to see this as hierarchy. So the Chatat, if you separate a Chatat to be a Chatat, and then let's say the person who did the Avera dies, or all sorts of things, you know, the animal gets lost and then you take a different one in its place, or we're going to see a Tmura, like if you take a different animal... Instead of, let's say you decide, oh, you know what, I really like that animal. I don't want that animal to be the animal I take. So you do what's called tmura. You say, I'm going to take a different animal instead. Now, you're not allowed to do that. Okay, once you've separated, it's hekdesh. But if you do, the halacha is that hu utmurato is kodesh. As they're both treated with kedusha. And then again, what do you have to do? Achatat tamu. In other words, you have to leave the animal. Since the animal was already set aside, you have to leave it to die. And you can't do anything with that animal. The chatat is the highest level. Okay, the chatat tamu. Ola, if you separate it for an ola for nazir, so you're allowed to be makrivit as an ola for something else. Remember, with the ola, it goes kulola shamayim. Okay, so it can be an ola, just an ola nidava, it's called, right? You're allowed to bring a voluntary offer as an ola, so you bring it. But not for an olav niziru, just as a regular olat nedava. And shlamim, tikrav shlamim. And shlamim, which is you eat part of it, right? So that one you can bring, the shlamim for the nazir, now bring as the shlamim of a nedava again, a voluntary offering. Okay? But there's two caveats. One is nechalim liyom echad. A regular shlamim can be eaten in 2 days. Remember, there's a whole time frame about when you can eat a korban, and if you leave it over, it's called notar, and you're not allowed to eat the notar. So the nazir shlamim can only be eaten for 1 day. So in this case, your shlamim can only have 1 day, like the original, right? So it's really not like a nazir anymore, but it has the original boundaries of it, that it can only be eaten in one day. But einan tu'unim lechem, usually you would bring a lechem with the nazir korban, and since you're not bringing it to a nazirut, so you don't bring the lechem with it. Hayula ma'ot stumim. Let's say she put aside money without specifying. She says, this is going to be the money for my korbanot. She didn't say, this money will buy the chatat, this money will buy the shlamim, this money will buy the ola. Yiplu l'nidava. Okay, that's going to be, we're going to focus somewhat on this issue, although you'll see. Okay, so if she had ma'ot that were not specified, then they fall to nidava. Okay, they go to buying olot l'nidava, voluntary offerings. Ma'ot mefurashim, but if she specified this money for the chatat, this money for the ola, this money for the shlamim, then demei chatat yochul liyam ha-melach, they have to be destroyed because you can't kill it, right? It's an animal, you can't let it die. So what do? They fall, they go to yam ha-melach because that's where we put things that we want to basically say they'll be destroyed forever. Lo nehenim, you can't get hana'ah from them. V'lo mo'alim b'hem. But there's no din mi'ilah because there's no din mi'ilah when it's not a korban. This money can never be used to purchase a korban, and there's din mi'ilah only when it's actually a korban. This is in between. Why can't you get hanah from it? Some people say it's only an isur d'rabbanan. In other words, since it was for a korban, really there's no isur hanah, just like there's no mi'ilah. But mi'drabbanan, there it goes there that you shouldn't get hanah. But other people say, no, it's actually an isur d'oraita, the hanah from this. Demei ola yaviu ola uma alim bahem. So the demei ola, you're allowed to bring the korban ola, just like you could have brought the olat nedava from the animal. So likewise, from the money, you can buy an ola, olat nedava, and then it's going to be exactly the same uma alim bahem. Right? Then there is meila because it's a korban. Right? Meila. I'm sorry, I didn't explain. Meila is when you get benefit from, you use it for something else. You use an animal or money for that was hektesh for a different purpose. So then you're chayav asha me'ila, you have to bring, you have to pay keren plus chomesh, you have to pay the principal of the whatever you used plus an added chomesh, and then a fifth, and then you also have to bring an asha me'ila, a special korban, for being over on the isur of me'ila.
So are they saying in this case that instead of the original korban that they were supposed to bring, they're bringing a nedava one. So
yeah.
It's different, so therefore it's me'ila?
So because you can bring a korban with this money, if you use the money to buy fruits and vegetables, then you're over on me'ila. Right. There's an issue. You're not over on me'ila just by doing this. You're over on me'ila if you use it improperly. If you don't use it as an ola. And demei shlamim yabiyu shlamim v'nechalim liyamachah v'ein tunim lechem. Okay, the same thing. You bring korban shlamim with it, and they're nechalim liyamachah v'ein tunim lechem. Okay, in the context of this whole discussion in the Gemara on this Mishnah, they brought up another source which talked about, let me just find it. It's none. Okay, we're in the middle. They bring up this Mishnah, I think, right? Yeah. Okay, they bring up a Mishnah. It's about 12, 13 lines from the top of Kaf Daled Amud Bet. Okay, a man can make his son a nazir, but a woman can't make her son a nazir. If he shaves or his relatives shave, which show that they don't have any intent. This is a very interesting discussion. What relatives can do this kind of thing? And can they do it only if the father's no longer alive? Or even if the father's alive, can they go against the father? And the son, he can go against his father. And they can show that they don't want to be a Nazir. Okay? If, and in which case he's not a Nazir anymore. So now the same question comes up. Hayu lo ma'ot stumim, if he had ma'ot that he had set aside already for his korban, yiplu l'nidava. Okay? They become ma'ot nidava. Okay, ma'ot meforashim, demei chatat yuchuli amamelach, etc. And then the whole thing is like our Mishnah. So it's a very similar case. And for some reason, the Gemara just asked their question dafka on this Mishnah that they quoted here and not on our Mishnah, even though it's really the same halacha. Okay, there's a question about why maybe there's a reason why they didn't ask it on our Mishnah. I'm not going to get into all the details. Now, anyway, the Gemara quotes now that Mishnah. Hayu lo ma'ot stumim yiplu l'nidava. Okay, which actually it's supposed to be vihayula. It's actually hayulo, but some people change the nusach. Anyway, if he had ma'ot stumim, yiplu l'nidava. So now, what's going to be the obvious question here? What did we say? If it's ma'ot before a shi, right? There's a hierarchy, right? We have. Okay. If you have ma'ot before a shi, right? So, the chatat, what did we say? The chatat, limita, right? There's nothing you could do with it. And if it's money, then it goes liyam ha-melach, right? If it's the ola and the shlamim, so then it turns into a nidavah, right? For the nidavah ola, nidavah shlamim. Now, if you have ma'ot stumim, where you didn't specify at all, then the whole thing becomes an ola nidavah. You bring it all as a carbon ola nidavah. Now, what's the obvious question? But there was a chatat involved in there, right? Why? What about the chatat? V'halo demei chatat mu'ravim behem. Okay, top of Kaf Hamad Aleph. So if demei chatat are mixed up with them, well then, how can you bring it as an olat nedavah? We already said, any chatat has to go l'mita. We're going to see today, it's a halacha l'moshe m'sinai. It's a very basic halacha. Everyone agrees to it. There's no doubts about this. So how could you say that we turn this into an olat nedavah? when everything's mixed up. Now, the Gemara answered yesterday, in a particular case, that you could say that he set aside this money for some of, right? Let's say he sets aside 100 shekels, okay? Now, you could say maybe he wanted to buy the korban shlamim, like a really big, big piece of meat for 100 shekels, right? And then with, he didn't mean this money, you could say it was only for the shlamim, or only for the olam the shlamim. It doesn't necessarily have to be that this money was for all three korbanot. So the Mefreshim say here, the Gemara doesn't answer that because the assumption is, and some people say that's why it was dafka on this Mishnah and not on our Mishnah, because you could explain this Mishnah as, without getting into too many details, but that this Mishnah was referring to where he says, korbanot nizirut alai. In other words, this money is going to cover all the korbanot of my nizirut. In which case, he doesn't have an option of a way out of saying, oh no, I just meant to buy a really big shlamim, and I'll buy that with this money, and, you know, I'll separate this other money for the chatan. So you can't answer that here necessarily, because we can assume that here we're talking about that he very much specified it's all the korbanot and not just some of the korbanot. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, halacha hi benazir. Okay? When you don't have a good answer, what do you say? You say it's a halacha l'moshe misinai. Okay? Some people say this means halacha l'moshe misinai. Some people say it just means it's a halacha. Okay? In other words, it's a special, unique halacha by Nazir. That even though a general chatat goes limita, in this case where you said, you didn't specify, you weren't very specific about, you know, this money, you just said this money's going for my korbanot, in that case, we say the whole thing goes to nedava. Okay? And that's why. Okay? But otherwise, in a regular case of chatat, you wouldn't say this, but it's a special unique halacha by Nazir. Rish Lakish amar, L'chol nidrehem u'l'chol nidvotam. There's a pasuk. Okay, read the whole pasuk. If you have the Torah or on the side, give to the whole pasuk. Daber al haron ve'al banah ve'al kol b'nei Yisrael v'amarta lehem. Ish ish mi bei Yisrael u'minager bi Yisrael asher yakriv korbano. Okay, this is just an intro pasuk about if somebody brings a korban. L'chol nidrehem u'l'chol nidvotam asher yakrivu l'Hashem le'olah. Okay, from all their nidarim and all their nidavot that they bring to Hashem for an ola. So what does Rish Lakish say about this pasuk? Hataramra motar neder yehei l'nidava. What does it say here? L'chol nidrehem l'chol nidvotam. So what do they say? If something's left over from a neder, meaning you had a neder that was canceled and it related to a korban like your nizirut. So whatever's left, since it says l'chol nidrehem l'chol nidvotam, it means that what's left of your neder becomes a nidava. So it's a unique, it's similar to Rabbi Yochanan, who says it's a unique halacha, but he says it's learned out from a drasha in the pasuk. And Rabbi Yochanan, at least according to many interpretations, says it's halacha l'moshe misinai. Now halacha l'moshe misinai means it's, you know, sort of this in between Deoraita and Derabanan, right? But a very strong Derabanan. It's a mesorah that's been passed down. Usually doesn't come from a pasuk. It's just something they say, oh, well, we learned this. It was passed down to Moshe. So one says we learn it from there, one says we learn it from the pasuk. Bishlama le Rabbi Yochanan de Amar halachahi binazir amtulahachi stumim in mifurashim lo. If you say it's a halacha l'moshe misinai or it's a unique halacha by Nazir, so then we can understand why, if you notice, right, this halacha only applies when it's stumim. If it was mifurashim, then we don't send everything to Olat Nedava, right? The Chata goes Lamita, the Olah goes to Olat Nedava, and the Shlamim goes to Shlamim Nedava. So, you can't say that, it makes a lot of sense. If you say it's a unique halacha by Nazir, what's the unique halacha? The unique halacha applies only when it was Stumim, okay? But, L'Rish Lakish, Ela L'Rish Lakish, L'chol Nidrehem U'L'chol Nidvotam. The pasuk says, L'chol Nidrehem U'L'chol Nidvotam, and what do we learn? That any neder that's left over, what does it do? It goes, becomes a nidavah. So in which case, it shouldn't make a difference whether it's stumim or mefurashim. It should be any karban that you made, any karban you set aside for a neder, right? So my area stumim, afilu mefurashim. According to this pasuk, again, l'chol nidrehen means anything you took upon yourself as a neder and then canceled your neder and you no longer need to bring the korban that you said you were going to bring and you set aside the money for. So it shouldn't matter whether you set aside the money and said, this is going to be for the, you know, in general, or you said specifically, this money for the chatat, this money for the ola, this money for the shlamim. According to that pasuk, anything that you did when you were a neder, motar neder, should go to a nidava. So then basically it means the chatzot shouldn't go to the mita, and the shlamim should actually be an olat nedava, because the end of the pasuk says, asher krivu l'Hashem le'ola. Okay, so Amar Rava, mifurashim lo matzit amart, kfar paska tana debe Rabbi Yishmael. He says, no, the reason mifurashim, nobody argued over mifurashim. Clearly that pasuk doesn't relate to mifurashim, because that was already very clearly stated in a braita, the situation. Now remember, Rabbi Shlakish and Rabbi Yochanan are Amoraim. Okay, they're early generation Amoraim. Okay, they're like, they're either first or like toward the end of the first generation, beginning of the second. So when they're having this argument, clearly they're talking about only Stumim. Nobody thought that Mefurashim could go Lenedava. Clearly he didn't mean his drasha to say that because of this Tana Deber B'Yishmael, which we're going to see right now. So Tana Deber B'Yishmael, this is what they said in the Brayta. We're going to see it's a machloka, but everybody agrees that this is the case. It's just a matter of where you learn it from. Okay, here's another pasuk. Okay, in Dvarim Yud-Bet it says, in pasuk kafaf, Rak kodeshecha asher yihye lecha. Okay, I'm going to read the whole pasuk. Unidarecha. Okay, the one key word here is going to be rak. We're going to darshan all the sections of this pasuk. Only the kodeshim asher yihye lecha, unidarecha, and your nidarim, tisa uvata el makom asher yivchar Hashem. Those you should take to the makom asher yivchar Hashem. Remember, the Torah never says Yerushalayim, right? It always says to the place where God chooses. So now, Rak kodeshecha asher yihye lecha unidarecha. What's it referring to? What kodeshim and what nedarim? So they say, bivladei kodeshim ubitmuratam akatuv medaber. What's the pasuk referring to? What's vladei kodeshim? You set aside an animal for a korban. Now, but before you sacrifice this korban, it has a baby. Okay? It has offspring. So now the offspring of that animal and the tmura of that animal. What did I teach in the beginning of the shiur, right? That if you substitute, it's substitution, you substitute a different animal for the animal you set aside, both hu utmurato yeh kodesh, okay? Both animals are kodesh. So, but you can't obviously sacrifice both of them for the korban because, right, because you can't bring two animals for one sacrifice. So one of them, you know, you have to deal with. The tmura you have to deal with. And the original animal has to be sacrificed. But the tmura one, what do you do with it? So, this pasuk is relating to the vladei kodeshim and tmuratam. Hakatuv medaber. Matakanatan. So, what do you do with them? Tisa uvata el makom asher yivchar Hashem. You bring them to the makom asher yivchar Hashem, to the Beit HaMikdash. Yachol ya'alem. Okay, now, it's not clear yet in this pasuk, what do you do with them when you get there, right? You might have thought, ya'alem, bring them up, lebeit ha'bechira, right? Bring them up to the Beit HaMikdash. V'yimna mehem mayim u'mazon b'shvil she'yamutu, like we talked about the chatat, right? You might think that you should just leave them till they die. Talmud lamar, ba'asita olatecha habasar v'hadam. That's the next pasuk, okay? The next pasuk says, Basita olatecha habasar vahadam al mizbach Hashem elokecha, v'dam zbachecha yishafecha mizbach Hashem elokecha v'habasar tochel. Okay, so you bring these up to the Beit HaMikdash, and you're allowed to eat the meat from them. Okay, so now what does it say here? So basita olatecha. If you notice, the beginning it talks about the ola, and the end of the pasuk talks about the shlamim, right? Basita olatecha, which means it goes all up to Shemayim. You don't need anything. And the second part is talking about dam zvachecha is the shlamim, right? Where you then eat it. So that the pasuk splits into two. The beginning part was talking about an ola, and the second part about the shlamim. So what do they say here? So Talmud lomar vasita olotecha basar v'adam lomar lecha kederach shata noheg ba'ola nahug b'tmurata. Just like you do with an ola, that's the way the tmura should be treated. Meaning, if you were going to bring a korban ola, and then that animal had... Well, the truth is, right, the ola, right, here, okay, so here specifically, they're only talking about in ola and the tmura. Why? Because an ola can only be brought from a zachar, so there is no offspring, okay? Whereas the shlamin can be brought from a nekevah, so when they talk about shlamin, they're going to talk about the vladot, okay? So now, what are they saying? The first part of that pasuk teaches you, vasita olotecha, that just like you wanted to bring this korban as an ola, and then you tried to substitute it with a different korban, the one you substituted it with, the tmura one, has to be brought as a korban ola, as an olat nedava. Okay? Now, right, so let's say you had set aside your ola for a nazir, and then you brought another ola instead of it. So you set aside a different animal to be instead of it. So the first one has to be brought as your Ola Nazir. The second one, the Temura, has to be brought as an Ola Nidava, a voluntary Ola. And then the second part of that pasuk, it says, "V'dam zbachecha yishafecha mizbach Hashem alokecha v'abasar tochel," comes to teach you what? "K'derach shatan oheg b'shlamim nahug b'vladehem." Okay, and obviously also b'tmuratam. Okay, so the same way you would treat a shlamim. So if the shlamim that you separated now had offspring, that also has to be brought as a korban shlamim. Again, shalmei nedava. Yachol. Now, do you remember the pasuk started with? The word rock. So far, what have we talked about? Ola and shlamim. Now, yachol, you might have thought, let's replace for a second, af vlad chatat utmurat asham ken. Maybe the vlad of the chatat and the tmurav and asham, again, the chatat can be brought from zachar and nekeva, whereas the tmur can only be zachar, so therefore the asham can only be zachar, so therefore tmur is only mentioned by asham. So you might have thought the vlad of the chatat and the tmurav, the asham, and also the tmurav of chatat, okay, it doesn't say it, but obviously that, would be the same, kain, would be the same thing. Oh, if you took a tmurav of chatat, then you have to sacrifice it as a chatat. Talmud lomar, rak, divrei Rabbi Yishmael. Okay? Rabbi Yishmael says the word rak kodeshecha, so again, to summarize, okay? The pasuk says like this, rak kodeshecha asher yu lecha, unidarecha, tisa uvata lemakom asher yivchar Hashem. So what is this teaching you? This isn't talking about regular korbanot. It's talking about if you had offspring of a shlamim or of the offspring or tmur of a shlamim and ola, then the second pasuk kicks in. Then you would do the ola like an ola and the shlamim like a shlamim. But this says rak to teach you only applies for ola and shlamim and not for chatat and asham. Okay, they add in the asham. Okay. That's Rabbi Yishmael. So why did we bring this? We brought this to say that when Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are arguing about where do we learn it from what pasuk, right, about the ma'ot stumin, clearly none of them think that if you have ma'ot mefurashim, that the chatat would be brought as an olat nedava, because everyone agrees that the chatat always has to go l'mita. Okay, and we see that from the time of Rabbi Yishmael. And Rabbi Akiva, who disagrees with him, just disagrees with him about where we learn it from. Rabbi Akiva Omeri no tzarich. You don't need this whole long-winded drasha that you brought. It's very simple. Harehu Omer, Asham Hu. The pasuk by Asham says, okay, Asham Hu, which means Asham Hu. Okay, what's the drasha here? There's actually two different girsaot about what this drasha is. Behavayato Yehe. Okay, meaning the Asham is as it is, meaning as it, right? How do they darshan this? Right, the other nisak makes more sense, which is basically that Asham Hu, only the Asham can be brought as an Asham, and not the Tmura of an Asham, or the Vlad of an Asham. Okay? Bahavayato Yehe, they explain to me, like as a, I don't remember also the other nisak, one second. Bahavayato Yehe is, right, it's just as is, I guess, they translate it. Like, as it is, meaning not anything that was substituted in place of it, or not anything that came as an offspring of it. Here, so, right, here's a different girsa. Hu kare ve'ein tmurato kreva. That's a better nusach, right? That Asham hu, they're darshing the word hu, hu kare, but not its tmura. That works a little smoother. Okay. Notice, they don't relate to the chatat here, right? So the assumption is, because the chatat is obvious, because everyone knows that the halacha l'moshe m'sinai, that the chatat always goes l'mita. So it didn't even need to mention the chatat. But the asham, so basically what's Rabbi Akiva saying? You don't need some special drasha of this kodeshecha, blah, 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 you know, the olatecha, the shlamim. You don't need that, because it's just very obvious. Asham hu, hu v'havayato, or hu v'lo t'morato, and that teaches you just that can be brought as an asham, nothing else can be brought as an asham, not the offspring, not anything else. So it's obvious, and the chatat also, clearly, if a chatat goes l'mita, you know, everybody knows that, and you certainly don't sacrifice it as a chatat. Now, there's also, it's obvious also that there's a big difference between a chatat and an asham and an ol and a shlamim. Because an ol and a shlamim, in general, you could bring in a davar, say, I want to bring a voluntary offering, you would never bring a voluntary offering as a chatat or an asham. Chatat or an asham comes as a, because you did something wrong. So it also, you know, what's underlying, obviously it's not said here, but it's underlying the whole thing. Which is chatat and asham are in a different category because they're in a different category because of the the mashma'ut of what the, you know, what the significance of them is. It's not, it doesn't have a character in which you can bring it voluntarily. I mean, unless you voluntarily sin in order to bring a korban, but I don't think anyone's really doing that. Okay. Now we're going to go back and talk a little bit more in detail about the drasha that Rabbi Ishmael brought. I want to talk about what were they even thinking when they suggested these things. Okay, katane. It says in the Braita, Yachol ya'alem lebeit ha'bechira v'yimna mehem mayim u'mazon b'shvil she'yamutu. Talmud lomar v'asita olatecha. Right? You might have thought that maybe you should bring them up to the Beit HaMikdash, and maybe the pasuk is telling you when it says, right? Bring them up to the Beit HaMikdash. So remember it said you might have thought you bring them up there to die. Talmud Lomar, that's what the next pasuk comes to tell you, bring them as a korban. So they're saying, Amai. Hav lach chatatu digam mirin ba mita. It was only by the chatat that we learned you're supposed to let the animal die. We don't have such a concept by Olan Shlamim, so why would you have even thought that? What was the Havamina? What were they thinking? So now, what do they say? It's a very backhanded thing. I'll try to explain it in one way that I saw in the name of Rabbeinu Peretz, which sounds like a good explanation. Elav Kras, so remember, there's a hierarchy, okay? This is important to remember because this is what doesn't make so much sense about their order. The Chatat always goes to Mita. So why would you have thought, why would you have a Havamina that the Olan Shlamim would go to Mita when it's the Chatat we know that goes to Mita? So what do they say? Ilav krap. You didn't have that in second pasuk that said, Ba'asita olatecha, etc., that teaches you you're supposed to sacrifice. And what might you have thought? Hava mina vlad chatap bekomakom. When you say the chatat has to die, let's say you're living in Haifa, and you separated this animal, and now you died. And now your son has to deal with this animal, right? What does he have to do with it? He has to leave it to die, because it was separated as a chatat. It can no longer be offered. You're no longer alive. So he lets it die. But does he have to bring it to Yerushalayim? No, of course not, right? He lets it down wherever it is. There's no halacha you have to bring it to Yerushalayim. So if we didn't have the second pasuk, what might you have thought? Rakod Hashecha sheyelecha unidarecha tisa uvata l'makom she'yibchar Hashem. Maybe, specifically, the Olan Shlamim would have to be brought to die in the Beit HaMikdash. Now why would you have thought that, right? It's backwards. We said the chatat's more chamor, right? So the what Rabbeinu Peretz says is that you might have thought it because people, this is always the opposite, right? People won't take it seriously if you don't make it more severe. And since people know the Olam the Shlamim is not as serious, so they'll think, oh, well, I can just, you know, maybe I don't even need to leave it to die. So what do they tell you? Not only do you need to leave it to die, this is, remember, this is all just the Havamina. It's what you might have thought had we not had the Pasuk. So you might have thought that not only do you need to leave it to die, but you have to bring it to Yerushalayim. Just so that people don't mess up on this halacha and they're not mizalzil, you know, they don't treat it not so seriously. So therefore, there's a unique halacha by them to bring them up. But then, no. Okay? And I didn't finish the sentence, though. Ilav krav amina vlad chata b'chol makom uvladei kodashim bebeit ha-bechira. Right? You might have thought that the vladei kodashim of the Olan Hashem would have to go lebeit ha-bechira. Kamash malan delo. That's why you need the pasuk. So this is all explained, just the question in the Braita. Why they even thought to ask this question. Why would you even thought the Olan Shlamim would be the mitah? So now they're saying, no, you might have thought not only would they be for mitah, but you'd have to, the unique halacha would be, they'd have to go to Yerushalayim, different from the chatat, so people would take it seriously. And therefore, the next pasuk comes to teach you, no, you might have thought that, but you're wrong. It's not the case. They don't have to die. They get sacrificed as korbanot. Kamash malan dilo. Okay. Next quote from the Braita that they're going to try to understand better. Katane yachol af vlad chatat utmurat asham kain. Okay, right? You might have thought that the vlad chatat and the tmurat asham also what? What would you have thought? Again, this is a very strange havamina. You might have thought that they'd be sacrificed as a chatat and an asham, right? Or maybe they'd be sacrificed as an olan asham, and we don't even know, right? They'd be sacrificed and not left to die. Tamud lamar rak. So now they say, Lamali kra, why do you need the pasuk rak? Hilchata gemirala, vlad chatat lemita azo. This is a halacha lemoshe misinai. Everybody knows that vlad chatat goes lemita. Okay, a vlad chatat goes lemita. By the way, once we're here, I'll teach you. There's a, the Shansi has a good footnote about it. There's a rashe tevot vitimna. Okay, vav tav mem nun ayin. Okay, it's rashe tevot for the five chataot that go to mita. Okay? The first one is the vav of vlad chatat. Okay? So if you set aside a chatat and then it had offspring. Tmurat chatat is the taf. Those are our two cases. The third is Chatat Shem Metu, the mem of Metu Ba'aleha, that we discussed also. Okay, the fourth is Chatat Sha'avda, V'nitkapra Ba'aleha Ba'acheret. Okay, so there was a Chatat. You set aside as a Chatat, the animal walked off, you can't find the animal now. You set aside another one, and then you eventually find your animal. Okay, so that one also has to die. And a Chatat Sha'avrash Natah, it has to be Ben Shana. And if you set it aside and you don't sacrifice it and it already is past Ben Shana, then you can no longer bring it in, it also has to die. So those are the five. Why is it? Mm-hmm. It's Avrashnata, the ayin of Avrashnata.
What's the nun?
The nun is the... Right, Nitkapra. Right? Nitkapru Balehem. Not the perfect. Mechu Nitkapru, right. That's right. And then Ayin Avrashnata. Okay, so that's just good basic information. So now it's Hilchata Gemirin, the Blad Chatat Lamita Azu. So what do they say? Hachinami, you're right, it's true. You wouldn't really need it for that. So why would you need it? Ukra la Asham Hudaata. The Pasuk Ra comes to really exude the Asham. In other words, all this we know about the Chatat. The chata goes lamita. That's halacha Moshe Mitzvah that everybody knows. You wouldn't need a pasuk for that. But in order to exclude the asham, you would need the pasuk. So I guess once they were saying asham, they also added chata to the list. But really, the drash is for the asham. But they say, wait a minute. Asham nami hilchata gemirala. But the asham also is halacha Moshe Mitzvah. Because here's the thing that everybody knows. Kol she'ilu b'chatat meta ba'asham ro'eh. Okay, now the asham is not as severe as the chatat, but what happens with the asham? Do you remember this? The asham, what does it mean, ro'eh? You take the animal, you let it, you put it in a particular area so you can keep watch over it, and you let it hang out there until it gets a mum. And once it gets a mum and it's puzzled to be a korban, then you can sell it, and with the money you can be poda the animal. You can only do pidyon once it has a mum. You can't be poed to the animal because it doesn't have a mum. So you let it run in the field until it has a mum. Once it gets a mum, you can be poed on a coin, and then you can use the money. Then it frees it up. But it's also got a unique halacha, and also it's clear that it doesn't, right? It's not as chamor as the chatat, but it doesn't get sacrificed, okay? It's ro'eh. So again, we're left with the question, if it's so obvious from the halacha l'Moshe Mitzvah, why do we need this drasha to tell you? To exclude this. Why do you need the word rock to teach you? Right? Not those two. And la'imi hilchata, hava amina hilchata. Okay, if you just had the halacha l'Moshe Mitzvah, what would we have thought? Yes, it's a halacha, but I ikrive lo lichai v'le v'lo klum. But if you didn't do what it said, you went against this halacha, it wouldn't be the biggest deal. Okay? In other words, ideally, your chatat has to go lamita. Your asham has to be ro'eh until it has a mum, and only then you can be poded and use it. But if you accidentally, or you used it and you sacrificed it, nothing would happen. Kamash malankra di makriv le kaim ale ba'ase. Therefore, we have this pasuk to teach you rak kodeshecha. Now, it's a mitzvah ase, right? What's it telling you? That if you have an ola, you have to sacrifice as an ola. You have a shlamim, you have to sacrifice as a shlamim. You know, a tmurat asham, or a tmurat ola, tmurat shlamim, or a vlad, or, okay? But what do we have? It's called a lav hanitakla ase, or, no, it's not a lav hanitakla. It's lav habamichlal ase. It's a lav that you can learn out from the ase. Since it's actually, there's a bit of an argument exactly how you call this an ase. But the basic interpretation, which you can argue about, is that it's a lav that comes from an ase, because it says only this. So only this means only this can be done, and if you don't do that, you're basically going against the ase that it says in this pasuk. So basically, in the end, they say you really didn't need the drasha to learn the halacha, because the halacha was clear, the rak, right, this part of the drasha anyway, right, the rak part. Remember, obviously, you need the first part of the drasha to teach you that the ola and the shlamim, you can sacrifice as an ola and shlamim nidabah. But the rock for the asham and the chatat, you didn't really need, but it's just coming to add on an additional prohibition, that it's not just aser, but you're over on an aseh, basically. You're not mekayim this mitzvah aseh. Again, it's not perfect because you really are mekayim the mitzvah aseh, because the mitzvah aseh doesn't have to do with chatat and asham. So a bit of exactly how this connects to the aseh, but it comes out of an aseh in the Torah. In other words, if you want to say it in better words, it makes it stronger, right? It makes it a stronger prohibition, or it tries to, you know, remove you all the more so from doing it. Stresses it, right? Okay. Rabbi Akiva Omer Eino Tzarich. So now we're going to Rabbi Akiva's statement in the Braita. He says you don't need this because Harehu Omer Asham Hu Bahavayato Yehe. Right? It is as it is, and Asham can only be sacrificed the Asham itself, not anything else. So now again they say Lamalikra Gemar Gamirala Kol Shebachatat Meita Baasham Roes. So again, even Rabbi Akiva's pasuk is also unnecessary. So what do they say? Hachinami, you're right. It is unnecessary, but he comes to teach us a different halacha. The pasuk comes to teach us the halacha of Rav. What's the halacha of Rav? De amar Rav Huna amar Rav. Asham shenitach l'ri'iya v'shachato l'shem ola kasher. If you, now what happens to the asham? You set aside, you did a tmura of an asham. You tried to say, oh, I really don't want this animal, I want a different animal. So now you're stuck, right? The first one is sacrificed as an asham. The second one, you have to leave it to pasture in the fields, right? Now what happens? What's the process? You give it over to a ro'eh, okay? And he kind of watches it, right? You send it into the fields. Then you have to wait, right? Who knows how long it's going to take till the animal gets a moo. So now, let's say you did the first stage. You sent it to the fields. Okay? That's asham shenitach l'ri'iya. It's already been set aside into the fields. And then from the fields, someone took it and shechted it l'shem ola. So now, what did we learn? You can't shecht it, right? You have to be pode. But if you did it anyway, then it's kasher. Because you already started the process of sending it l'ri'iya. Okay?
This is the first before you got a moon?
Exactly. So you have to send it to get a moon, but once you already sent it to the fields, if it, now not l'chatchila, but if b'dieved, it was used for a korban ola, it's kasher. The korban is kasher. It's okay. Okay? Because you already sent it l'ri'iya. Okay? The fact that it came back is a different story.
This is assuming someone checked it to make sure it didn't have a moon before they gave it to
Right. The assumption was it didn't have a moon. Right. Did someone check it? I guess. Right. Well, the assumption is they checked it because if you're going to bring a sacrifice, it always gets checked. Exactly. So ta'ama, what do you learn from this statement of Rav? Ta'ama dinitak. Why is it kasher? Because it was already set aside l'ri'iya. But halonitak lo. Okay? And why is that? Da'amar kra hu b'havayato yehei. That's the asham has to be like as it's an asham as it is, meaning once you do some sort of change, okay, this like comes up in all sorts of things with like shinoi maase, like you do a maase to it, you've done something to it, it's no longer b'havayato yehe. And then the pasuk that excludes it is no longer talking about that kind of a thing. So when it says asham hu, it means the asham itself that you set aside for an asham, but if you already sent it to be in the fields, then it already is no longer this problematic asham that you have to deal with. In other words, it's taking that drasha and understanding it totally differently. Right? We understood asham hu, only what you set aside to be an asham can be an asham and not a tmura and not the vlad. Now we're saying asham hu means that if you have like a tmura or a vlad or something, and you did something to it, you sent it to the fields, that's no longer the asham that they're talking about that can't be brought as a sacrifice. That once you do some sort of change to it and you send it already out to the fields, it's already different, it's already removed somewhat, and therefore if it were to be brought as an ola, it's a kasher korban. Okay, so we'll end here for today. A whole different world of, right? We kind of moved from Nazir into korbanot.